803, John Jane Rich, Arizona's Morning Show, 877-937-1047. You know, it's just on the internet, and when you go to, like, whatever your homepage is, if it's CNN.com or MSN.com, the first thing on the page is Tom Hanks and the Da Vinci Toad. Da Vinci Toad.
See, Jesus was a frog. I knew it! The Catholic Church has been covering it for that long!
Come on, we need to do a parody, the Da Vinci Toad.
The Da Vinci Toad!
I'm in.
Anyway, so it's just all over the place. Will it be number one at the box office? Probably. Is it a good movie? Who knows? We're going to find out right now from Don and John. What's up, guys?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Hey.
Oh, yes.
There is more hype on like what this movie means than any other movie that I can recall.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Crazy stuff, isn't it?
It's a crazy world we live in, John.
Yes, exactly. I think that's the point of the whole thing.
Well, before we do Da Vinci Code, though, we're going to tell you about Over the Hedge, and then we'll get into Da Vinci
Code. That's another big one. Yeah.
Yeah, it looks really cute. Looks fun.
Yeah. All right, another animated movie out of Hollywood. By all means, why just film actual people doing stuff when we can spend millions and use these computers to create our lifelike cartoons? I'm telling you guys, forget Da Vinci Code. Over the Hedge reveals the real conspiracy here. The computer geeks are taking over our world.
Over the Hedge is jam-packed with big-name stars, a cute story, and completely endearing characters. RJ, he's this raccoon, and he's played by Bruce Willis. He's an ingenious little guy, and he's now in big trouble because he stole a whole stash of food from a hibernating bear, and now the bear is found out, and he's in big trouble. But the bear makes a deal with RJ. He's not going to kill him if he can replace the whole stash in a week. Okay, good, fine, good plan, but how's he going to pull that off? Well, things start to look up when he runs into a group of animals waking up from hibernation. Now, this is where it gets really cute. There's a hyper squirrel, played by Steve Carell, a hesitant turtle, played by Gary Shandling, a skeptical skunk, played by Wanda Sykes, and a determined possum, played by William Shatner. And when they discover that an enormous hedge has been built where there used to be a forest, RJ convinces them that there's an endless source of human food and treasures on the other side in suburbia, all there for their taking. So they head out on this big adventure to the other side of the hedge to find the treasures. What they don't realize, though, is that RJ is trying to use them to restore the bear's stash. So they battle a relentless exterminator, they face their fears, they learn to rely on each other, and they discover that just maybe friendship and family are more important than anything.
Aww.
Like a lot of movies out there, this has got the impressive animation. But unlike a lot of movies out there, this one's actually got a good story and some pretty funny stuff in it. One thing I especially liked is they did a really good job of matching the voices to the characters. So you're into the characters and not playing that whole celebrity voice guessing game through the whole movie, you know, like you do.
Yeah.
So Steve Carell did a really good job. He's in it. But my favorite was Thomas Hayden Church, you know, the mechanic dude from Wings.
Yeah.
That's all I know him from.
Yeah.
Really funny as the voice of the exterminator. He reminded me a lot of Bill Murray in Caddyshack. It was really funny. And Avril Lavigne's got a small part in it. As my friends know, I'm a big Avril fan, and I'm pretty sure she adores me, too.
All right.
Yeah. You know how there's all these celebrities in the last 10 years or so started doing these cartoons?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I was trying to think back to when it first started with the voiceover. Now, I know it's been around forever, but the first time a big-time celebrity lent their voice to something like that, and as far back as I can go, is Bruce Willis in Look Who's Talking. I mean, can you think of anyone before? Because after that, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, Tom Hanks is doing Toy Story.
Yeah, that's
all these
true.
Can you go back farther than that?
I don't think so.
It's Bruce. Remember how funny he was as Mikey?
Yeah, because the Disney stuff, like the,
Little Mermaid and all that?
Yeah, there's no celebrities doing that stuff, really. They're just kind of whoever fits that part.
Right. Well, with the exception of Bob Newhart and Zsa Zsa Gabor and The Rescuers.
And the incredible Mr. Limpet with
Don Knotts.
Yeah.
So I guess it does go that back.
Yeah, it's big now, though. I mean, this was packed with celebrities. It's like there's probably 10 characters that are all famous people. So this one's actually not in the league of, you know, Toy Story or Monsters, Inc., but the kids were all laughing out loud. I didn't fall asleep or take my own life. So it's better than any that have come out, lady. It's better than Ice Age 2, better than The Wild, better than Curious George, and it's better than any that are about to come out, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it looks good. It does look really cute, really funny.
Yeah,
so, on our movie night traffic light, we're going to rate Over the Hedge green. This really is a must-see for all ages, and really, this is going to be huge. You're going to make a ton of money on this movie.
It's a good one, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to it.
All right.
All right, the Da Vinci Code. Okay, our plan here was, our Don's plan actually, was that I would read the 500-page book over the weekend, and Don wouldn't read it, so, you know, we could quote-unquote get both perspectives or whatever.
That's
so
smart.
I read the book. I saw the movie. My only issue with the whole Da Vinci Code thing is that I'm pretty sure now I'm going to hell.
So Da Vinci Code brings all the controversy of the now infamous book to the big screen, and it begins when a curator at the Louvre is murdered, and they call in Robert Langdon, who's played by Tom Hanks, who happens to be this religious symbologist. They call him to help investigate because the curator wrote cryptic clues in his own blood before he died.
Well, that seems very labor-intensive if
you're
dying.
Yeah, it does.
Why not call an ambulance?
Take a pen out of his pocket.
He was motivated. So a French woman cryptologist shows up at the scene, and she tips off Langdon that he's in danger and they have to get out of there. Turns out the murdered curator is her estranged grandfather, and she's sure he's left clues to solve some big, huge mystery, if only they can figure out what they all mean. And the clues lead them and the audience on this intense treasure hunt to discover this enormous secret that could, in fact, change the spiritual beliefs of millions of people, literally. And there are those that will do whatever it takes to learn the secret, and there are those that will do whatever it takes to protect the secret, so they're never sure who they can really trust. And they are led to clue after clue across Paris and London, like in Da Vinci Code paintings or Da Vinci paintings, hidden scrolls, Isaac Newton's tomb, remote castles and cathedrals, and place after place after place, and eventually they discover they can get the answers if they only find the Holy Grail. And the movie takes the audience on an intellectual journey full of possibilities and speculations, and if you guys are familiar with the book, the concept is the same, but don't be so sure you know exactly how the movie's going to come together.
Really?
Yeah.
It's different than the book?
Well, Dawn, who didn't read the book, let me tell you this. Again, she didn't read the book.
We got that, John.
She thought it was a great story. She got all of it, even though it's actually a pretty complicated and detailed story, as you know if you've read the book.
Yeah, but Dawn's smart. She works at a missile factory.
She ain't that smart. It moves along. It actually does move along at a pretty fast pace, even though it's not all action-packed. It's like Randy said this morning, it's really gripping. There's some big surprises in it. Good stuff. But
is it like Indiana Jones for smart people with Bibles?
It is kind of like that.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's
I'm out.
Indiana Jones for smart people.
The whole smart people thing throws me off.
And I think you'll be fine.
Is Larry the Cable Guy in this?
No.
That's damn funny.
But, Jesus.
But since it...
You're done, Tom.
He's not in it, but Forrest Gump's in it. So,
is it good?
Well, since it sticks really close to the book, I mean really close to the book, and I, again, had just read the book, I was kind of bored in the thing. There's a few slight fundamental changes in the story. The ending is slightly different, but not real different, and some of the events are kind of edited out to condense it for the film. I got to say that Ron Howard is brilliant. I mean, he used some really creative ways using flashbacks, scene overlays, some graphics and stuff to tell this really complicated story so that people that hadn't read the book could get it. So Tom Hanks, not his best performance, but he's still likable in spite of the long hair. I think they did the long hair so you didn't picture Forrest Gump solving all the world's religious riddles.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
How can they change the ending? You know, I don't know much about the book.
Yeah.
But how can you change an ending to a book that's so popular?
It's only slightly different.
I kind of don't remember the ending that well.
Yeah, it's what they did is they kind of streamlined it a little bit and gave a little more detail. There's a little more finality than what you had in the book.
But, hey, can I tell you what I know about the book? And will it ruin anything? Because
I don't think so.
487 pages. You know that, right?
But, hey, isn't the storyline that they find out Jesus is married and he's got kids?
Mary Magdalene.
Yeah, he was married and he has kids, and they try to unravel that. That's the big storyline of the movie, right?
Right. Yeah,
that's kind of the Holy Grail. Yeah.
That's the hint that Da Vinci put in all the paintings, and they kind of used that painting as a real-life thing to go on this sort of fictional thing. But I don't get why people get so freaked out. It's a story. Even Dan Brown said, it's a story. Some of these things exist, but it's a story.
And who's Dan Brown?
The guy
who
wrote it.
Oh. Even my neighbor, Dan Brown, said, hey,
you know why
fictional.
I think it is, Rich? It's because the book is so detailed about actual things, and then it presents the theory, the fictional part, just like that. And so you kind of buy it all.
Yeah, you do. And he's got, there's really that Opus Dei. There's really those organizations.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
Right. What is it, the Freemasons? There's all that stuff is real. So it's like, ugh.
Yeah, this weekend I noticed too, like as you flip around the cable channels, like every History Channel 80, they all have some kind of special on either the Da Vinci Code or the Freemasons, which are all involved in this Da Vinci Code thing.
It's all real.
Yeah, it's kind of cool stuff. I really think if you haven't read the book, you'll really enjoy the movie if you like intrigue. If you're one of the fanatical code heads, you know, you're a big fan, you'll be glad that it stays true to the book. So
good.
I think everybody wins in this. So you know, they can all stop.
That's
their
what I was worried about. Totally worried that they weren't going to stay true to the book.
No, they did. Ron Howard did a great job with that, I thought.
What about you, Don? You liked it?
Yeah, I really did like it. And John was a little surprised that I liked it. But, you know, there's so much detail. The thing is, though, you don't have to pick up everything that's going on to understand what's happening in the movie. It might be one of those movies that you see more than once to try to get all the detail, but you do get what's going on. It does keep your attention. It is interesting, and it, you know, you're there for the full 2.5 hours. You don't check out at any point.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so on our movie night traffic light, we are going to rate Da Vinci Code green.
Ooh.
This is really well done for such a controversial topic, but I do have a tip real quick for you guys. If you go see this movie with someone who's actually read the book, you might want to put them somewhere else in the theater if they're going to blurt out things that are going to happen in the movie before they actually.
Well, you didn't see any of that coming.
So, in other words, don't go to the movie, John.
Hey, you know, I got to tell you, John Jay, the thing about the book is what it's based on is that they think the real Christianity before it was all butchered by men was based on the only way to really commune with God is to have sex. That's the key to communing with God.
Well, so, how'd you get that?
I think that was Randy's favorite
book.
Part.
Is that not in the book?
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that part.
You must have blown through it
part?
Pretty fast before you saw the movie.
I guarantee you, I just read it. That's the basis of the book,
it's,
really.
It's
is
big
the,
in the movie, too. Yeah.
It's more subtle in the movie.
Is there a Tom Hanks love scene in the movie?
No, there's not. Not at all.
No.
All right, you guys. Well, thanks for reviewing the flick for us.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, so I will go see it tonight.
I know,
then.
Me too.
No,
me
I mean, because I thought if it was horrible, I wouldn't even waste my time. But if they say it's good, I'll go.
It, you know, and like I'm a huge Stephen King fan, and they've just butchered his movie. There's some of these like thinner, and there's some that
Shining's good
butcher, but some of them are bad, and it ruins the book for me. So,
but anyway. If there's an ending, like I don't know how the Da Vinci Code ends, but if there is an ending that is something that you guys remember and like, oh God, that's how it ended. How can you change the ending of a movie?
I don't really remember how it ended so much. I read it 2 years ago, something like that. I don't really remember the ending being that shocking. I think it just sort of ends.
Is it the kind of movie or book that can have a sequel?
I think the guy is the sequel.
Yeah, I guess
because he's like a Indiana Jones for Bible people.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
they could do a prequel, Angels and Demons. I guess they could do a prequel.
You don't
to
find
it.
Out that Tom Hanks is the son of the son of the son. He's involved. He's Jesus.
Oh, he's just a symbologist.
It's not like it changes the entire ending. It's just like it's the same ending but altered a little bit. Does that make sense?
I thought a symbologist was the person at the next to the drums that goes.
I
don't know.
I thought they studied plants.
It's 8:16. There's another movie up this weekend. It's called See No Evil or Hear No Evil with Kane. And we'll have him on the air on 8:30. This is Arizona's Morning Show. It's John, Jay, and Rich.